Well, good morning one more time. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And while you're finding that, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be going through the last message this morning, at least at this time, for what our purpose is. We have five purposes in our life. God created us for a reason. He created us for a purpose. And we're going to be covering the last one this morning. So as you find Acts chapter 1, I just want to remind you that your life right here is practice for eternity. Now, how many of you have kids that play ball, basketball or baseball or football or they do gymnastics, anything? Anybody ever had one at any time? Most of us. And you know, before the big game, before the big meet, whether it was gymnastics or to football, they all went to what they called practice. You remember? You went to a whole lot more practices before you had games. And the practice wasn't just because it was to get ready for the big game. Are you with me? Now look, I'm going to tell you, We've got a few folks out, so I'm going to need you to step up, okay? Those of you in the back, you prod the people in the front. Those of you in the front, you encourage the people in the back. So here's what I need you to do. I'm just going to remind you that, you know, whenever you say amen or you agree with me, that's a whole lot like saying sick 'em to a dog. And it makes me preach faster and you get out quicker. Amen. It's all over the house. Praise the Lord. You know, y'all are funny. But I love you. Life is like those practices that we were talking about. It's preparation for eternity. You don't think that you're here just by accident. God had you to come to know Him. He invited you to know Him as Lord and Savior. And when you surrendered your life to Him, you became a part of His forever family. This is just phase one. This is just the beginning. We've already covered four things that we're going to be doing in eternity that we're supposed to be doing right here on this earth. The very first one is, you remember, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's your first purpose. Your second purpose, do you remember what it was? It's likened to the first one. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the third is discipleship, to learn to become more like Jesus Christ. The fourth preparation and the fourth purpose that we have is to learn to use my abilities to serve God. We covered that in 2 weeks. So we're supposed to be serving God. But you also have a fifth purpose. Now these first four purposes are to be practiced right here to get better and better and better and to appreciate who God is and to get better at them. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to keep doing those four things. But the fifth one, your fifth purpose is that you were made for a mission. You've got a mission. You know, I really thought about getting a cut from the old Mission Impossible show, you know, where they had the match that lit the fuse and then it would come on. If you know it, do it with me. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun. And then it says, your mission, should you choose to accept it. I thought, man, it would just take too long. So I thought I would give you that mental memory. If you're not an old Mission Impossible person, you need to go back and watch it on YouTube or something. Okay, great shows. All right. Here's the thing. You were made for a mission. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. And He's praying to the Father. This is the priestly prayer. And Jesus prays to the Father. And He says this. Listen, He says, in the same way, Father, that You gave Me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. That's Jesus. Jesus is giving us a mission, He said. But unlike the other four purposes, this last purpose and this last mission can only be done on earth. You can't do it in heaven. You were made for this mission, and this is your only chance. You don't get to do this in the eternity. This is just for the little spot right here on this earth. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Jesus said, "I'm sending you on a mission." What is the mission? In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, just a few verses later, he tells them this, and he tells them, he says, "Your most important mission is to tell people the good news about God's grace." That's your mission, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Now, I should have put on your outline in just a big line and in bold letters, a place where you could write this down. But you really need to write this down somewhere. If you haven't been writing your purposes in the flyleaf of your Bible or on something, you need to do it. But you ought to write this down somewhere. Your fifth purpose is to share the good news. That's your mission. God wants us to share that He loves us, that He loves you, and that He has a purpose for your life. He wants us to share the gospel. Folks, that is the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. Now, when I share with you that all of this that I've told you about is called evangelism, some of you are going to go, "Oh, what you were talking about sounds a whole lot better." Because some of you, whenever I say the word evangelism, you get this picture of somebody that you've seen on TV that hangs out over the pulpit and they've got real tall, crazy hair. And they get the big voice. And that's what you think is evangelism. And that's what you think is an evangelist. And I'm going to tell you, that's not what evangelism is. And that's not what an evangelist is supposed to be. Evangelism is sharing the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. Don't you want to hear good news? Listen, we all want to hear good news. Even if it's about something that's on sale. Tell me the good news. Listen, everybody likes good news. That's evangelism, sharing the good news. An evangelist is not somebody who has to be on TV. An evangelist is what every person is supposed to be. Not just preachers, not just ministers, everybody. We're supposed to be sharing the good news that God loves me and that God loves you and that He's got a purpose and He's got a plan for your life and He wants you to pass it on to others. Now, where am I supposed to share this? That's where our scripture comes in this morning that we're going to focus on the rest of our time. And I want you to stand with me as we read from Acts chapter 1. This scripture is what is called the Great Commission because it tells us where we're supposed to go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. One brief little scripture. Now, if you have a red letter edition, what color is it? Which means this is Jesus speaking, and it tells you as you read from above that it's the Lord Jesus, and He's speaking to them, and He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." But let's go back to the beginning and read that first part one more time. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." How do we receive power? Through God's Holy Spirit. If you've always said, "You know, I'm just not a very good witness. I can't ever remember what to say or what to do." You lean on God's Holy Spirit for this, people. God gives you the strength to do it. All you have to do is step out. God will do it through you. He says, "But when you shall receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be," what is that word? Witnesses. One more time. You shall be. It does not say you might be. You might be someday. It says you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Pray with me. Father, we are thankful for your word. Would you help us not to forget our greatest mission on earth is to share the gospel. We shall be witnesses unto you. God, help us not to forget that that is a charge that you gave us yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, where am I supposed to share this? Christ shares first and foremost. He says, I am to be a witness. He says, you are to be my witnesses. Now, what is a witness? If you were in a courtroom and the judge called a witness, what would that witness do? Is that the one who stands up and does the prosecution? Is that the one who defends the client, the accused? Is that a part of the jury? What is the witness? The witness is called to tell what they saw. That's what a witness. They're supposed to tell what they know. And dear friends, that's all you're supposed to do. Tell people what you know. Tell them what you've seen. You are the best expert on your life of anybody in the world. You know your life better than anybody else. And that's what God is telling you to do. He's saying, I just want you to tell other people what's happened to you. I want you to tell people what I have done for you. Now, listen, I can be a witness and I can tell people what he's done for others and I can tell them what I find in here. But the easiest and the simplest way for me to share is to share what God has done for me. Because what I can tell him is what my experience has been. What God did for me. What God did to relieve my conscience. What God did to give me forgiveness. What God did to give me peace. What God did to give me joy. What God did to give me the hope that resides in heaven with him. Folks, that is right here in my heart. And you know what? Nobody can take that from me. But I can surely share it with everybody. God has chosen you. God has chosen me. God has chosen us to complete his mission. And his mission is to share the good news. He has put the eternity of the world, the eternal future of the world, in your hands. Stop just a minute. Does that give you a little pause? That God has placed the eternal future of mankind in your hands and in my hands. There is no plan B. Plan A, Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sin and for mine, rose from the dead, has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, has sent his Holy Spirit to give us the strength. The strength to do what? First of all, to know him ourselves, and then secondly, to share it with the rest of the world. What is his other plan to have people come to know him? There's not one. You are the plan to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. There's no plan B. We're it. Being on mission for God is the greatest honor and the greatest privilege that has ever been given to mankind. We are given the chance to work with God Almighty. Isn't that incredible? God said the rest of the world is dependent on you to come to know me. But where in the world do we start? Should we take off and go to Africa somewhere? Shall we get a mission trip? Sure, let's do that. Shall we go closer? Maybe some of them folks up in Washington need some help. I know the folks in Washington, D.C. need some help. Listen, everybody needs help. We could name a state. And why don't we just get right back here and talk about where we're supposed to start in Texas? Why don't we do that? Jesus said that I must first share with those in my Jerusalem. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's his words. In Jerusalem. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Do you know where they were when he said this? Jerusalem. So he was saying, listen, if he had lived in Magnolia, what he would have said here is, you shall be witnesses of me in Magnolia. That's where he would have started. Jesus' point is this. You start your mission work at home. Right where you are. Right where you live. So before we worry about D.C., before we worry about anywhere else, New York City, let's start right here in Texas. Let's start right here at home. Let's start right here in Magnolia. Because what Jesus was saying is, you need to start your mission work with the people that are closest to you. That's where we start. And then you work your way out to the ends of the earth. In Luke chapter 8, there is the accounting of a story there that Jesus healed a man. And when Jesus healed him, this man was so excited, he just followed Jesus around. And he followed him and he testified of him. And he said, Jesus, I want to go with you everywhere you go. And you know what Jesus told him? Man, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He's got a witness to travel with him. And Jesus says, no. Can you imagine Jesus telling anybody no? But he did. He says, I want to travel with you, Lord. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. And what did Jesus tell him to do? In verse 39 of chapter 8 of Luke, he says, what I do want you to do is go home. I want you to go back home. And here's what Jesus said. He said, I want you to tell people how much God has done for you. Not going to travel with me. Your best place of mission work, your best place of testimony, your best place to share the gospel of being an evangelist is for you to go home. Now, Jesus says the same thing to us. That's where we start. Start at home. Where do we start missions? Home. That means our house, under our roof, where we live, with our children, with our parents, with our wives, with our husbands. Folks, wherever we are, we start at home, and then it works out from there, which means your neighbors. Jesus is saying, start at home. In verse 39, it says that that man that Jesus said, go home and tell people what I've done for you, it says he went all over town telling what Jesus had done for him. Now, there, folks, is a witness. He had gone all over town telling folks what Jesus had done for him. Now, did it say that he went back and that he began to account and recount all of the things that Moses had done? Hello? This side, y'all answer me. They're not listening over there. Did he talk about Moses? Did he talk about the travels of Abraham, where Abraham had been called by God and that he left everything, left Ur and went to the promised land? Is that what he said? It says that he told them what Jesus had done for him. That's your cue. That's what you're supposed to do, is tell what Jesus has done for you. Thank you, Lord. Where am I supposed to share it? I'm to be a witness at home. Here's something you need to know. We're supposed to share him with our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, anybody and everybody who crosses our path. A few years ago, and it's been a few years, but the Gallup poll did a survey of Americans, and they said that Americans were more interested in spiritual things than they were 10 years previously. Does that make sense to you? Do you think that people are really interested in spiritual stuff, and we say, nah, they're too busy, or no, they're too into this or that. But listen, the poll said that people actually wrote down that they were more interested in hearing something spiritual than they had been 10 years before. Don't think that people don't care about spiritual things. They do. They want to hear it. They want to hear the absolute truth. A George Gallup survey also said, that same survey said, that 65 million people. Now, this was a few years ago. 65 million Americans had no church home. Do you believe that? How about this? They said that 65 million Americans had no church home, but that 34 of those 65 million would attend a church if somebody would just ask them. Do you realize that that is over half of all the Americans in America? That half or more would attend church if somebody just invited them to come. So let me tell you, it tells me that most of the time people don't come to church because somebody has not invited them. We need to invite them just to hear church. That's not even with you telling your testimony, but just sharing with them, we have a wonderful church that loves the Lord. Come visit with us. Half of the people would come. Did you know that in that poll, that Gallup poll said that teenagers would rather talk about God than sex or drugs or music? They would rather have a conversation about God than any of those other things. But who brings that up? I'm going to tell you, Satan does his best to distract us, to tell people, to tell us that people don't want to hear about God. That is a lie. Because the Americans themselves, the secular America, has spoken. Opportunities to share the gospel are all around us. The only reason that your heart is still beating is because God's got a job for you. You're still here because God's got something for you to do. After you come to Christ, God wants you to share the gospel with people who haven't heard or who need to hear it again. Did you know that it takes an average of 7 times for somebody to hear the gospel before they actually accept it? Maybe they've heard it 6 times and they're waiting on you. Maybe they've never heard it before and you need to start the process. That doesn't mean everybody would take 7 times, but the average is 7 times before their heart begins to receive it. If somebody had not shared that truth with you, do you know where you would be right now? Lost. And if you were to die in that lostness, you know where you would be. Now God wants you to pass it on. God wants you to do something with it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 from the ICB version says this. It says, God doesn't want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. Not one person. If you want God's blessing in your life, and I'm supposing that you do, I don't know of anybody that goes around saying, well, I just wish God would remove His blessing from me. Nobody says that. They all say, well, I want God to bless me. Do you ever tell God, God, give me what I deserve? Anybody that foolish? But we all say, God, give me mercy. God, give me grace. God, give me strength. God, give me hope. That's God's blessing. When we ask for God's blessing, here's the deal. If you want God's blessing, you've got to care about what God cares about. And if you want God's real blessing, you've got to care the most about what God cares the most about. And you know what God cares the most about? People. He said He does not want any to be lost. He wants no one to die without His Son. If I had the cure for cancer, if I could cure cancer with one little thing, I would tell the world about it. Wouldn't you? If you found the formula that would cure cancer, I hope that you would stand on the rooftop and shout until everybody in the world had heard it. I'd be shouting it on the streets. But dear people, I've got something even more important than that. More important than saving a physical life. I know the way to eternity. I know the way to heaven and to have an eternity that is life and not death. I've just got to care enough to tell other people about it. My 5th goal in my life is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. And that is your purpose in life, is starting at home, sharing the gospel. The second thing that God wants me to do is to reach beyond my world. not just right here at home, but He does want me to reach beyond. You see, love demands that I move beyond my comfort zone to people with different backgrounds, different educations, different languages, and even different economics. Now, how do I know this? How do I know that's what God wants me to do and not just to stick with my kind, if you will? Because Jesus told them, He said, I want you to be witnesses of unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea, which meant that for us it meant Magnolia and all of the Texas area. But then He said, and in Samaria. Do you remember what Samaria was to them? Samaria was a place of some Jewish people that had intermingled with Gentiles. And they were no longer a pure race as far as the Jews were concerned. And so they were outcasts. They weren't welcome to come to their temples. They weren't welcome to shop in their marketplaces. They were an outcast people. They were different from them and impure. And Jesus said, you're supposed to even go there to witness to people. You're supposed to tell them, I love them too. They need the gospel truth. In other words, I don't just talk to people like me. Christians are to be building bridges, not walls. Amen? I think we build way too many walls. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 from the Living Bible says, whatever each person is like, I love the way he said this, whatever each person is like, it doesn't say I try to be like them. It says, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. I like that. I like the way he says it that way. What is Christ's law? When the man came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, and the second part's like to it. He said, there's two parts to this most important law. Love the Lord your God. And then he said to what? Love your neighbor. You know this. I tell it to you often. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's Christ's law. That's his number one law. One day, we are all, it doesn't matter, saved and unsaved, every person in this world will stand before God. He is going to take an audit of your life. He is going to confront you with what he finds, and he's going to judge you. That's what God's Word says, Matthew chapter 25. He's going to judge. Did we really learn, or did we really try to learn to love people? Or was it just a bunch of talk? Was it just, oh, I love everybody in the Lord. Oh, I try to love people. Was it just a bunch of talk, or did we really try to do it? Matthew 25 says that Jesus is going to separate those folks into two groups. And he's going to tell one group, those on his right, he's going to say, I was hungry and you fed me. He's going to say, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And it says that all those folks are going to ask and say, Lord, when did we do that for you? When did we see you hungry or naked or thirsty or a stranger or sick or in prison? When did we do this? And you remember the word, we've shared it several times over the last several weeks. In chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 40, it says that Jesus is going to say, when you did it to the one of the least of mankind, you did it for me. When you give just a cup of water in the name of Jesus to somebody, Jesus said, it's like you gave it to me. Boy, that should change our perspective. We hear it all the time, but do we remember it? You know, this whole business of Christianity, this whole business of being a Christian is about healing hurts. not just our own, because God does that, doesn't He? Thank you, Lord. But it's not just about healing our hurts. It's about healing the hurts of others so that they will hear the message we have for them of Christ. It's about helping other people. It's about godly love. And I'm going to tell you, this is a truth you need to be reminded of, but it, you know it. It's, and that's loving people for Christ's sake is going to cost you. Amen? It costs to love people. It costs to take care of people. You have to break out of your own self-centeredness. You have to leave your comfortable things. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you effort. And it's even going to cost you money. But for that kind of love, God has given us a promise. I shared this with you last week and the week before that. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 says that Jesus replied, "Let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything for love of me and to tell others the good news who won't be given back 100 times over. Wow. So folks, we need to be sharing the good news with folks outside of our comfort zone. But if I'm truly going to be like Jesus, if I'm going to truly be like my Lord, we've got to share His news with folks who are not only not in my part of Texas, but not in my part of the world. You see, I've got to care about the whole entire world. That's why we send missionaries everywhere. I know not everybody can be a missionary. Not everybody can go to Africa. Not everybody can go to Europe. Not everybody can go to those crazy places that are way out where. But we can care enough to support missions and missionaries who do. I have to care about the whole world. Because God cares about the whole world, I have to care about the whole world. If I don't care about the whole world, I'm not doing what God calls me to do. Mark chapter 15, verse 16, verse 15 records that Jesus told His followers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone." Not just some, but everyone. Now, was Jesus talking to just pastors? Was He just talking to just missionaries? No, He was talking to everyday normal Christians and folks like us. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now this is a command. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So here's the key. Jesus said, "Follow me." That's a command. And if He commands us, we're supposed to do it. And if we do it, He said He's going to make fishers of men out of us. So here's the deal. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Have you made a cast to some lost person lately? Have you even tried to present the gospel? Folks, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody needs to hear the good news. Everybody. Everybody needs Jesus. Now, they may pretend they don't. They may pretend that they don't need Jesus. They may pretend that they have a hard heart. And they may put up barriers. But I'm going to tell you this. In their heart, they know that they are lonely. In their heart, they know they're empty without God. They know it because God's Holy Spirit, when you tell them the truth, will convict them. And they know that they need God. In Mark chapter 8, verse 35, the Scripture tells us that whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. Folks, we're supposed to be giving our life back to God. Are you too busy saving your life for yourself? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be fulfilled? Do you want to be really happy and fulfill your purpose? Then fulfill your mission before God. It is indeed the secret to a full and happy life, to be doing what you're called to do. So I want to end with this. I want to ask you this question. Are you listening? Every person, let me ask you this question. Is anybody going to go to heaven because of you? Is there even one person who's going to go to heaven because of your witness, because you told them about the love of God? When you get to heaven and you're going to be spending eternity there, Is there even one person who's going to come to you and say, thank you. Thank you for sharing the truth with me. If it wasn't for your witness, I wouldn't have known about the greatest love in all the world. And right now I would be in hell instead of in heaven. Thank you. Is there anybody who's going to tell you thank you? In the next 365 days, did you know that 3 million Americans are going to die? In the next 365 days, 56 million are going to die in the world. And most of them are going to go to an eternity without Jesus Christ. If we care, we've got to share the truth. Now, it's like I said in the beginning. At the very first, I said that almost all of life is a rehearsal for eternity. Your first four purposes, we start here and we carry those purposes up to heaven with us. Only one purpose is for here only. And that's your testimony, and that's your sharing, and that's your mission work for God. Only one purpose that you're going to do only here. But folks, that one purpose, that mission work, will certainly impact eternity. Amen? It's going to impact who is in eternity. Because if you don't share with them your witness, how are they going to know? Your witness is going to change who's in heaven. Your witness, not mine, your witness, because you know people I don't know. Sharing the Word of God, sharing your testimony, sharing the truth. But right now in this life is your only chance. If your heart is still beating, and I think right now it is, if your heart is still beating, then your mission is not completed. God Himself, God the Father, the omnipotent Creator of the universe, is asking you, will you share the good news? Will you share my news? And folks, there's only four possible responses. Sometimes people are going to say like Moses did, who, me? I can't talk very well. And God had to work around Moses to get done what He wanted to do. Or you can say like Jonah, I'm not going to those people. I don't like those people. They don't like me. I don't like them. I'm not going to go. Or you can do like Habakkuk and say, why me? God, isn't there somebody else you choose? I'm really busy. I've got stuff going on. Why me? Why me? Or you can do like Isaiah said, Lord, here I am, send me. Who do you think got the biggest blessing? You know who. Isaiah for saying, Lord, I am here, send me. Can you say like he did? Lord, send me. You know what I think? I think the most dangerous prayer that you can pray is, God, here I am, use me. I think that's the most dangerous prayer to you and your personal desires and wants that you can pray. I dare you. I double dare you. I challenge you. Will you pray that prayer? God, use me. It might be the most dangerous prayer you have ever prayed, but I'm going to tell you this. It will bring the most fulfilling joy to your life to be used by God. Dare to share for Jesus and just watch to see what happens, dear folks. Little is much when God is in it. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I look out at these folks and I see faces of people that I've known for a long time, some for just a short time, and some I'm still trying to get to know, Lord. But as I look out and see the folks in this service, I know You're calling all of us, Lord, to accept our mission from You. And I pray, Lord God, that You'll give people the courage to do the right thing and not walk away in disobedience today. God, thank You for the privilege of being invited to be a part of the greatest cause in this whole world, the cause of building Your spiritual family. God, we thank You and we praise You for inviting us to be a part of Your mission.